The Gemara in Maseches Tanis tells us in Daf Chav Tes, "Batisa kol eida ve'yitnu es kolam ve'yivchu am b'laylahu." Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Osa layla le'al Tisha B'av Hayah. The night that the Meraglim came back with their terrible report about Eretz Yisrael was the night of Tisha B'av. Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, "Atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam." As you cried over the reports of the Meraglim, you cried in vain. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ani kovei alechem b'chia l'dors." Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'll give you a Tisha B'av. I'll give you something to cry about." Kadosh Baruch Hu was nice to us this year, although on my walk here tonight, Kadosh Baruch Hu is filling the skies with his tears, with the raindrops. But Kadosh Baruch Hu was a little bit nice to us this year, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Shabbos. And Shabbos, of course, is a time of oneg. It's not a time where we cry. The Gemara tells a story, the Talmud Yerushalmi tells a story about Rabbi Akiva, who lost a relative on Shabbos. He lost his son Eliezer, and he cried on Shabbos. And the Chacham said to Rabbi Akiva, "How could you cry? It's Shabbos. Shabbos is not a time for crying." So Rabbi Akiva responded, he says, "For me, crying is a delight. Karasa l'Shabbos oneg. Shabbos is a time of oneg. According to many, it's a din d'oraisa. So for me, crying is a delight." And therefore, the Rama actually paskins that if a person cries on Shabbos and it makes you feel better, you're actually allowed to cry on Shabbos. The Taz had a totally different understanding based on a Zohar. Again, not for now, Rabbi Akiva was crying because it was a cry of dveikus, of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't a cry of tears, of sadness. It wasn't to remove any of the sorrow. Whichever way you slice it, this Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, we were zochah to have a Shabbos that was filled with oneg, to be able to eat the shalosh shudas that we ate, to be able to enjoy a Shabbos. But now Shabbos is over, and reality sets in. It's not Tisha B'av in the sense that it's not the 9th of Av, it's the 10th of Av. But now the reality, now the harsh reality of the next 24 hours sets in. And there's no besamim to comfort us tonight. And there's a feeling as we transition from that world of Shabbos back to the world of Chol. Like Tzaddikim explained, Chol is a lashon of Chola. There's a sickening feeling that a Jew feels at this time. And it's particularly harsh coming off of a Shabbos. Feeling the beauty of Shabbos, of sitting together with one's family, with one's community, enjoying a Shabbos the way Shabbos is meant to be enjoyed. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu throws us back into this world which we're hoping to push off and pretending to ignore. Kadosh Baruch Hu throws us back into Tisha B'Av. On Motzei Shabbos Tisha B'Av, the Belzer Rebbe would keep his shtreimel on for a long time. And he was hoping. He wore the shtreimel on Shabbos. He didn't wear it during the week. And he was hoping, if I leave my shtreimel, if I just keep holding on, if I hold on to Shabbos a few more seconds, maybe there won't be a Tisha B'Av. Maybe I won't have to acknowledge Tisha B'Av. And finally, at one point, when it became evident that Mashiach wasn't coming, Motzei Shabbos is the Zman of Geula, he took off his shtreimel and he put down his shtreimel and he cried out, Nachamol Tisha B'Av, another Tisha B'Av. Rabbanu Shlomo, what's the point? Why are we doing this again? We need another year of Tisha B'Av. We're here, apparently we need another year of Tisha B'Av. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, it's time to leave the Gan Eden of Shabbos, and it's time to enter into the depths of Avelus, of mourning, of tragedy. And again, that contrast of being thrown down from the world of Shabbos, literally thrown onto the floor, is a very harsh reality. Gemara in Chagiga tells us, Rebbe have a nakit sefer kinos, Rebbe would take the Eicha in his hand, the kakari b'gavei, and he would read the Eicha. And as he was reciting Megillas Eicha, kimata lahai psuka, when he got to the pasuk in the second parak of Eicha, hishlich mishamayim eretz, to be thrown down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thrown down from heaven to earth, nafal min yadei, Rebbe couldn't even hold on to his little paperback kinos, it slipped out of his hand, it fell out of his hands. Amar me'igra ram lebira amikta, from such a high place to such a low place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was throwing us down, we feel that coming out of a Shabbos. Me'igra ram, from a lofty mountaintop to the depths of hell, to sit on the floor, Tisha B'Av. That's what we need, Rabbanu Shlomo, that's what you want, Nachamol Tisha B'Av. Again, we didn't do it, we can't figure this out yet. From the Nachala B'li Meitzarim of Shabbos, as Shabbos is described, back into the depths of the Meitzarim of Tisha B'Av. Magid of Mezrich was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Maggid had a son whose name he was known as Rav Avram HaMalach. And people wondered, even the tzaddikim wondered, how did he pick up on who? What type of human being is called? What does a person look like? Tzaddikim would never, he didn't know him, but they knew of his reputation, Rav Avram HaMalach. Why is he called a Malach? One of the tzaddikim, Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, decided, I want to find out if he's such a Malach. V'kach hava, he went to be by Rav Avram HaMalach on the night of Tisha B'Av. And he comes into his base medrash, and he sees Rav Avram HaMalach sitting in the corner. And they daven Maariv, and they begin to recite Eicha. And after one word, Eicha, one word, Rav Avram HaMalach lets out this unbelievable piercing scream, and he tucked his head between his knees into a fetal position, and he stayed that way for the entire Megillas Eicha, for the kinos that we recite tonight. He stayed in that position. People were filing out of the shul, even those who stayed around late in the evening to recite Tikkun Chatzos, V'chulu. And everyone was leaving, and he just sat there. He sat, he wasn't moving. Hunched over with his head between his knees. From the time he heard the word Eicha. Rav Yitzchak of Radvil finally left late in the night. He came back in the morning. He saw Rav HaMalach. He was still sitting in the corner, crying with his head tucked between his knees. And it's recorded, Me'es La'es, for the entire 24-hour period, he sat like that, in that fetal position, only raising his head a couple of times throughout that entire period. For a couple of short moments, he would look up and he said, he still hasn't come. He still hasn't come. Mashiach still hasn't come. And when people would shake their head, no, he'd put his head back down, and that was it. That was his Tisha B'Av. Don't ask me when he davened, when he wore his tefillin, I don't know. And Rav Yitzchak of Radvil said after that, I knew why they called him the Malach. He was a person who was beyond this world. He was a person who understood that sense of tremendous loss that we're supposed to feel tonight. The 18th of Av, 1929, is a tragic day in Jewish history. It's the day that the Hebron massacre occurred. 67 Jews killed, many more injured. Horrible, horrible way in which that came about. The stories are horrific. And Rav Aryeh Levin, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, describes what it was like when Rav Kook heard the words, when he found out what had happened in Hebron. I read you the words, obviously in translation. Rav Aryeh Levin said, I remember with sacred awe the moment that shook every fiber of my heart, and the event will remain engraved in my heart forever. 1929, I accompanied our master, may his merit protect us, referring to Rav Kook, to Hadassah Hospital, to find out via telephone about the welfare of our brethren in Hebron. When he learned of the slaughter of those holy and pious souls, Rav Kook fell backwards to the ground and fainted. He collapsed to the floor. Afterwards, when he regained consciousness, he wept bitterly and rent his garments over the house of Israel and the nation of Hashem felled by the sword. He then wallowed in the dirt and said, Baruch Dayana Emes. For some time afterwards, he ate mourner's bread, he drank his own bitter tears and refused to place a pillow under his head. From then on, from that day when Rav Kook found out about what had happened in Hebron, 1929, Chodesh Av, 1929, from that day on, old age crept up on him, and he began to feel severe pains. This brought on the fatal disease from which he never recovered. Rav Chatzkel Sarna, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron at the time, before he moved to Yerushalayim after this incident, once told Rav Bezalel Zsolti, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim, he told Rav Zsolti, he said, I was the Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron. I knew those boys. I had a relationship with some of the people who had been murdered that day. And when I heard the news, I was also shocked to the core. I couldn't speak. The pain was unbearable. He says, but I didn't faint. I didn't collapse to the floor like Rav Kook. He said, Rav Kook heard about a Jew who was taken advantage of by those horrible Risham, Yimach Shemam, and Rav Kook couldn't even exist. He collapsed. He fell to the floor. He fainted. Rav Avram HaMalach couldn't pick up his head on Tisha B'Av. May Igur Ram Labira Amikta, that feeling of being thrown down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws us down after Shabbos. He throws us down to the floor where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sfarim say, is also sitting. The Shechina is also sitting on the floor. That's why we're sitting on the floor. I'm only standing for Kavod HaTzibur right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the floor, and we're sitting with him on the floor. But we're not Rav Kook. We're not Rav Avram HaMalach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing the crying for us outside because we barely know what we're even sad about. And the question then becomes, so what's the feeling? What are we trying to do? What's the mission statement? Tisha B'Av Tavshin Ayin Ches. Lo Aleinu, we're here. So what are we supposed to try to do? What are we supposed to try to feel? Kadosh Baruch Hu was very nice this year. Like I said before, he gave us a Shabbos. He spared us from the Sudam of Sekes. We're not sitting on the floor eating bread and ashes. But like Chazal say, Suda Shlomo B'Shato, to enjoy a beautiful Shalosh Shudis, a person could eat and enjoy what he or she desired. Shalosh Shudis, that time, the end of Shabbos, the closing moments of Shabbos, are referred to in the Svarim HaKadoshim as Ravid D'Ravin. It's the most desirable time of Shabbos, a time of unbelievable closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a time that a person who eats the meal, Chazal say, is spared from the Chemes Gog U'Magog that ushers in the Messianic era. And those who sing the Zmiros of Shalosh Shudis, we recite, we talk about the fact that we're spared from any Midas Hadin. That there's no negativity in the world. There's no Avelis, there's no Midas Hadin. It's a joyous time. As we say in the Bnei Hechala of the Arizal, Chodu Hashtu B'Hashata. Let us rejoice at this time. End of Shabbos, the most joyous moments of Shabbos. Devei Rav of Alei Zafin. It's a time of tremendous favor. Hashem desires us. Alei Zafin, there's no angry. Hashem's not upset at us. Krivuli, chazu cheli, come close, feel my strength. Delays din and diskifin. There's no harsh judgment at this time. Levar not lin, velo alin, hani kalbin de chatzifin. Let all of the negative kochos in the world, whatever it means Kabbalistically, let all that stay outside. Keep it outside. Levar not lin, let it sit outside. We don't need it in here. That's the feeling of a Jew in the closing moments of Shabbos. Ravid de ravin, the desire of desires. The moments of longing that a Jew feels in the last minutes of Shabbos. So maybe coming from Shabbos, coming from Rav to Ravin, now into Tisha B'Av, so maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us now, Rav to Ravin, what's your desire? What do you want? L'maisa, what do we want? What do we really want? Do we want, can we close our eyes for 2 seconds and can we say, Be'emes, V'leib Shalim, that I want Mashiach? How many of us want Mashiach? To really want Mashiach. Do we know any sense of what that is? Moshe Soloveitchik, Hashem should avenge his blood. When he was a little kid, it was recounted in his close relationship with his grandparents. So he said one time he got himself into trouble. He was just like a 4-year-old kid. He got himself into trouble with the Rebbesim, with the Rav's wife. And she gave him a rebuke. And she saw that he was a little shaken by it. So she says, He says, Moshe, you know Bubby loves you, right? You know Bubby loves you. He says, yeah, I know Bubby loves me. But then he said about his grandfather, Rav, he's like, but Zaydi, he really loves me. Bubby, you love me also. I know you love me, even when you give me Musar. But the Zaydi really loves me. What do we want? What do we really want? There's a chilek. There's Rava, there's what do I want, and there's Rava de Rava. What do I really want? What do I really, really, really want? Are we ready to answer the question at the end of our lives that we're all going to have to take? No matter what profession you're in, no matter what degree of education you have, we're all going to have to answer the Bechina we take at the end of our life. Question number 4 of the 6 questions that were asked. See, Pisa Yeshua. Did you want Be'emes, and Hashem knows the answer, do you really want the Geula? Is that something you think about? Is that something that your life reflects, that you're living with it? There's a statement in the Zohar. There's nothing that stands in the way of a ratzon, of a true desire. If you really want it, Hashem says, so why is it not your reality yet? If you want something, Chazal tells us, if you really want something, not just you want it, you really want something, that becomes reality. Hashem makes that your reality. So if we're sitting here still, then we obviously don't want something. Something's off about what we desire, about what we want. Sanzer Rebbe was once traveling on a boat from Vienna to Budapest. And he was sitting there, like some of the tzaddikim used to smoke a pipe. He had a pipe in his mouth, and he's sitting there, and he's in a state of dveikus over the course of this boat ride. And he didn't realize at one point in the ride, his pipe fell out of his mouth and fell in the water. And he's sitting there in this state of dveikus. And finally, the boat arrives. The boat arrives in Budapest, and the Rebbe's getting up. He picks himself up, and he says, "Where's my pipe?" So the Chassidim said, "Rebbe, it fell off the boat like 5 hours ago in the water." The Rebbe got off the boat, and he comes down to the water, and he's standing at the edge of the water, and he says, "Rabbona Sholom, if you want to give me my pipe back, give it to me right now." And he thrust his hand into the water, and he pulled out his pipe. Because he wanted his pipe. And he understood, Hashem, if I really want something, you give it to me now. I don't have to wait around for it. If I really want something, we want Mashiach now, the way Lubavitch Rebbe used to sing it. Now we want Mashiach whenever you get around to it, Hashem. It's fine. Like, this is okay for now. If you really want something, then just take it. It's there. A person has the ability to think of, what do we really want? Rava de Ravin, what's our true desire? What does a Jew really, really want during these days? Are we okay with another year of Tisha B'Av? Are we frustrated? The Belzer Rebbe was frustrated. Nachum al Tisha B'Av, another year of Tisha B'Av. After the war, the Klausenberger Rebbe came to a DP camp in Germany, and he said that he had with him a gift for some of the survivors. He said, I brought along four pairs of tzitzis, strings, four sets of strings. And he wanted to see if anyone wanted. Believe it or not, there were still some Jews who wanted mitzvahs after the war. About 150 people said, we want the strings. He said, I have four sets of strings. I only have four sets of strings. Look, we'll do a lottery. We'll cast a lottery to see who gets the strings. Anyone who's interested in the tzitzis strings can enter into the lottery. There was this one ger chassid from Lodz, Reb Mendel Pshitik, who said, Rebbe, I get one of the pairs of strings. No lottery. I get one of the pairs. I automatically get one of the sets. So the Klausenberger Rebbe said, who says? Use the Talmudic phrase, who says your blood is redder than your friend? Why do you get the strings? Why should you get the strings more than anyone else? So Reb Mendel said, because I'm chayiv in tzitzis. And he grabbed his shirt and he ripped it into four corners. So I'm chayiv in tzitzis. I'm the only one here who's chayiv in tzitzis. I'm the only one who's wearing a four-corner garment. So Rebbe smiled. I said, Reb Mendel, you obviously really want these tzitzis. If what you just did was l'shem shemayim, you'll win the lottery. And needless to say, Mendel won one of the pairs of tzitzis. Because when a person really wants something, when a person could say, be'emes uvelev shalem, that I really, really want something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm prepared to give it to you. And therefore, if we're sitting on the ground in a couple of moments from now, reading Eicha again, our wanting is lacking. Rava de Ravin, we're not yet ready to say, Hashem, this is my truest desire. So to be malamid tzchus on us and to give us something to think about, there's another way to understand Rava de Ravin, the desire of desires, the ultimate moments of Shabbos, the closing moments of Shabbos. Tzadikim explained that Rava de Ravin can also mean Rava de Ravin, I want to want. I want to desire. Not I desire with such a desire, it's the ultimate desire, but I desire to have a desire. I want to have a desire. I don't even know what it means to desire, but I want to desire. A tradition from Simcha Bunim of Persischa, that up to 10 times you could say it. I want to want to want to want to want to want to want the gula. Up to 10 times, you're still saying something. Obviously, we want to be able to say it straight. Halavai. But if I'm not ready to say it straight, I should say, Hashem, you know what? I don't even know what I want, but I want to want. I know I'm supposed to want something. And the fact that I'm trying to think about that and not just rush out of shul and go through the day and get this over with is also something, Rabbona Shalom. I want to want. I can't look you in the face of Rabbona Shalom right now and say, Rava de Rav, my greatest desire is Mashiach. I still have a few clients that are waiting for me on Monday. I still have a few things. I have a vacation planned in a couple weeks from now. I'm not ready exactly at this moment to pick up and go back to Yerushalayim because I don't really know what that means, Rabbona Shalom. But I can tell you, Rava de Rav, and I want to want that. I want to one day want them. And maybe that's our mission statement for Tisha B'Av, Tav Shen Ayin Ches. I don't know exactly what I want. But Hashem, believe me when I tell you that I want to want it. I want to feel what Rav Avraham HaMalach felt in those intense moments of sitting in that fetal position trying to recreate the whole world over again on Tisha B'Av. I want to feel Tzaren Shel Yisrael the way Rav Kook was able to hear about the Chevron massacre and collapse to the floor because he literally couldn't stand on his own two feet. When the own Rosh Yeshiva and Chevron didn't understand the pain in that same way. To at least begin to start figuring out what are we going to do about this? How are we going to change this reality? To say to Hashem, I want to want the Gula. I want to want Mashiach. Rava de Rava. That's what Shabbos gives us going into a Motzei Shabbos that's a Tisha B'Av. In the Lebanon War in 1982, there was a non-religious Jew, an American soldier who found himself in Eretz Yisrael. And the general was debriefing his soldiers, telling them about what their obligation was in this peacekeeping mission. And he reminded them of the rules of engagement. Don't fire your gun. You're not allowed to shoot unless someone fires upon you. And this non-religious soldier turned to his general with this unbelievable chutzpah. And he said, if I see an Arab shooting at a Jew, I'm going to respond. And the general said, that's illegal. This is a peacekeeping mission. You're an American soldier. I don't care if you're Jewish. Unless you're in mortal danger, if someone fires upon you, you can't respond. And he says to his general again, he says, and if I see an Arab trying to kill a Jew, I'm going to do something about it. So the general said, I'm going to pretend again like I didn't hear what you said. But I'm warning you, if you keep it up, you're going to be court-martialed. And he said again to his general, I don't care what you say. And everyone's staring at him like he's out of his mind. He said, I'm not going to watch Arabs murder Jews. And he was court-martialed, and he received a dishonorable discharge from the army. He comes home, he comes back to his family in America. His parents are terribly embarrassed. What did you just do? You just ruined your life. What were you thinking? And they see he goes to his room, and he starts packing his bags. And his parents said, where are you going? Like, where are you going now? And he says to his parents, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. So his parents said, why are you going to Jerusalem? You're going back to Jerusalem? Why are you going back to Jerusalem? He says, because I just threw away my life. I just ruined myself. I just embarrassed myself. I just took a serious hit for the team, and I don't even know why I just did it. So I'm going to Jerusalem to find out why I just gave up my entire life on behalf of the Jewish people, which I don't really know anything about. I'm not even a religious Jew. But something told me, Libi Omerli, that was something I had to say. That was something I had to do. That's the feeling that we have on this Motzei Shabbos. We don't know exactly what we're trying to do. We don't. We really don't. We really, really don't. But Hashem, we want to know what's going on here. We want to feel Tzar and Shul Yisrael. We want to understand what a Beis HaMikdash meant to Klal Yisrael. We want to understand what Mashiach means to Klal Yisrael. We want to understand. Rava d'Ravan, we want to understand these things. We want to catch a glimpse over this day which will change our life moving forward. Because as Rabbi Nachman explained, for a Jew to not really want the things that he wants, that our neshama knows that it wants, that's the biggest galus in the world. Being in galus is not wanting the things that you want. And someone asked the 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe, should I marry this girl who I'm dating? The 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe said, if you're asking me, then you don't want to marry her. You think you should marry her. You can explain to me why you should marry her, but you don't want to marry her. If you're asking the question, then something's wrong. Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to get out of that gullus of our own das, to want the things that Jews want. Like that soldier, to be able to say, I don't even know why I'm running back to Yerushalayim, but I need to go there because I need to figure out what I'm supposed to be wanting. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the perspective. Motzei Shabbos is a zman of geula. Can't make any promises what's happening over the course of the next 24 hours. But the Medrash says Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. We're trying to do something here. Mirtz Hashem, each and every one of us in our own way should begin that process of getting serious about wanting the geula. And then Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it our reality this year.